Welcome to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Now, here's your host, Jason Miller.
Welcome to the show. Today, we're talking about IT modernization. To start the show, I talked with Rob Thomas, the Deputy Assistant Secretary and Principal Deputy CIO in the Veterans Affairs Department's Office of Information and Technology. Thomas discusses VA's recent update to its IT modernization efforts.
It's been a lot of change over the last year for the Veterans Affairs Department, specifically around the Office of Information and Technology. Talk about how much different VAOINT is today than it was just a year ago.
It is a lot different than it was last year. I think last year when Ms. Council came in, we really did an overall audit of our current state. There was a lot of reports, a lot of IAG findings that had been brought to the forefront, and I think it really uncovered, you know, a really complex environment, a lot of internal change and a lot of internal challenges that were really there. I think what was most important is we embraced this now, near, and future approach so that we could start categorizing things and sequencing them so we could really implement some positive lasting changes. And I think, you know, looking at the VA core values with ICARE, with the integrity and the commitment, respect and excellence, I mean, the advocacy part of ICARE, really making sure we were veteran-centric was really important. And, you know, from that, we really came up with three themes. And I think the three themes were important because it was about first stabilizing and streamlining our core processes and platforms. I mean, the second theme was we needed to eliminate our material weakness. And I think the third was we had to institutionalize new capabilities to drive improved outcomes. I think that was really important. And I think, you know, if you look at the mid-year transformation review, the story that we're telling, we have made a lot of progress looking at the ongoing audits. And I mean, I think we've mitigated 21 vulnerabilities. I think the other thing we've really done is we focused a lot more on doing things over documenting things. We really documented over a lot of our development and delivery. So I think that really highlights, you know, what we're trying to do from alignment to the MyVA, where the secretary has us driving forward.
One thing about your initiatives and plans is the now, near, and future. And I think it seems like you guys have tackled all of them. I mean, they all seem to be going in parallel versus, you know, let's just start with the now, and then let's figure out what's the near, and then we'll look to the future. Do I have that right? Do you feel like you guys have been able to address all three current, future states at once?
Absolutely. They're in parallel. You know, the now is the 0 to 6 months, and, you know, those are what people in the past would call low-hanging fruit. I like to call them our quick wins, things that we can get done right now in that window. You know, the near term is 6 to 18 months, and we, you know, we're working on those efforts at the same time. And then, you know, the future is beyond 18 months. But, you know, to your point, we're trying to the greatest expense possible to work on them all, and we are working on a myriad of things right now.
So when you look back over the last year, here we are, our near is done, our midterm and you're in the middle of, and maybe you're just in some of the beginning stages of the future. Would you be able to go through maybe one or two of the initiatives from each of those near, now, and future?
0 to 6 month time frame, first and foremost, you know, here we had our development and delivery was our PMAS, our Program Management Accountability System. It was very much based upon waterfall. It required us to have 60-some documents for the lines of code that we developed and delivered. The first thing in the now that I really focused on was bringing in agile development, taking waterfall completely out of the VA for the design, development, delivery. Our delivery time now in 90 days versus the past in 6 months, we're now down to 7 documents that is required for enhancements for the design, development, delivery. So that was a significant change that we're working our way through right now. We had 13 pilots. We successfully transitioned them, and we're now calling it our veterans-focused intake process. So it's our VIP process. So we completely in the now brought in that new delivery capability. The second thing in the now was we had six different release processes. We had our own in OI and TVBA had their own release process. VHA had their own release process. Our enterprise operations had their own release process. What we did was we re-engineered it, collapsed every one of those processes into one. So now we've been able to repurpose people. We have release agents set up, and we have one release process across all of VA and OINT, which is very powerful. We had 12 calendars on how we were working with each of the administrations. We now have one unified big board calendar. So those were some of the big things. And then also new tool suites in order to manage all of that capability. So it's been a major change in how we design, develop, and deliver here in the OINT from last year to this year. So a major change.
When you look at the 13 pilots, you transition them, meaning they're no longer pilots. They went from, if you will, initial operating to full production. I know with pilots and development, maybe it's not called full production, but that's the idea behind it, right?
It is, but I would say in this particular case, we had 243 projects that we were working on for our customers, and we took 13 of those to transition them from the old waterfall approach into the new agile approach. We're now working on the next 60-some, and the goal is to have all 243 projects transition from PMAS to the new VIP agile development and delivery by the end of the fiscal year. So at the end of the fiscal year, we'll be at full operating capability in VIP, and everything going forward will be agile, including all of the existing stuff. We had some triggers. I mean, we started with the 13 pilots, and then starting in April, we said, okay, if you have a new increment, you're going to transition from PMAS to VIP. If you have a new contract award, you're going to transition from PMAS to VIP. And if you have a new project, you're going to start out in VIP. So that was how we categorized everything, because we had so many projects to move.
What's probably the biggest lessons learned you guys are pulling from those 13 pilots that you're applying more broadly to other projects now?
Well, because of the diverse set of projects that we picked up, we learned a lot of things. I mean, we learned that on the operations side, you know, unified communications, telephony, PBX upgrade, those ones required more mentoring. Probably the number one lesson learned is the learning the new lexicon, the new taxonomy for Agile, getting people up to speed on Scrum and how you bring people together and everybody's a part of the team and everybody has a role and everybody has to roll up their sleeves and be involved versus the past way where people were in large measure observers, and we don't need observers and we don't need to document. We really need people doing actual work so that we're delivering. I would say that was probably the biggest lesson learned, is getting everybody up to speed on the new way to develop and deliver in Agile.
And I know, just talking from a lot of different agencies, there's a big push for Agile. Did you guys depend on training, or I know your experience, did you bring your experience and help with that training? How did you get people up to speed?
So I came from the Department of Homeland Security, and yeah, and that is exactly right. What we did was we started in what I called boot camps, and we brought people into central locations, and we started the Agile mentoring and the Agile training, and we cascaded it down. So we started at the SCSGS 15 level, cascading it to the 14, 13, and 12 down, bringing in people to go through multiple. We went through 6 months of boot camps, and we've now completed that. In addition to that, we had a lot of live links sessions. We had chat sessions. I traveled around to do a number of Q&As and town halls, but we used a number of different tools and techniques to get the new methods out there for everybody to understand.
And I think that's key, because people talk about Agile, but until you do training, until you show people what that actually means, it's a hard switch, because waterfall, as you probably well know, has been around for so long, and it's been kind of the culture of not just government, but of IT more generally. So I imagine that that was one big culture change. The other big one was, I think you talked about related to that, is the six release processes were all brought down to one, as well as the calendars. I imagine the release processes and the calendars are all related back to Agile. Do I have that right?
And that's exactly right. I mean, it's very complex. Me spending the large majority of my career in Air Force and in DOD, previously the principal deputy CIO at the Air Force, you know, a large portfolio, very waterfall-centric. In the past, and to your point, it wasn't just us in the development and the delivery. You know, it's all of the compliance activities. You know, we're the largest consumers now of the enterprise architecture, but we had to start with our acquisition people. We had to start with our security people. We had to start with our enterprise architecture people because we needed boot camps for them to understand the new operating methods and techniques. It required us to collapse and rescind a lot of our configuration control boards and a lot of our oversight boards because we had, you know, when you really started looking at it, we had conflict, duplication, and overlap in our configuration management control boards and our governance boards. There were way, way too many that were kind of stepping on each other, so we had to collapse those down so we could become more effective. Back to my point about streamlining processes and bringing out the new methods and the techniques. So, you know, how do we go forward with the industry side of it? Also, it required us to start engaging with our core providers that are helping us develop and deliver the software because they had to show up differently with Agile too. In the past, being completely waterfall approach to us. So it was internal and external that we had to make these boot camps happen in addition to the compliance side.
I think it's refreshing to hear that it wasn't just an IT effort, but acquisition was included. Security, obviously, that's as the IT side, but an enterprise architecture, I think too often those areas maybe are overlooked as importance. And then the vendor piece also is so important because you want the vendors to think differently. And it's not just, hey, one contract you need to think differently, but it's how you are delivering from here on out. What was the biggest change for vendors? Did you have to pull and push them toward that agile approach, or were they more willing to go and they were trying to pull you guys toward that agile approach?
So it's kind of across that spectrum that picture you just painted. Some were communicating and messaging that to the VA in the past, and the VA wasn't moving in that way, so they were very, very excited. We heard a lot of positive from the vendor community, and then we had those in the vendor community, our biggest supporters that were used to doing what they were doing. So I think we saw it across the spectrum. Some very eager, some waiting to figure out how we were going to do it, and then those others where we had to go back and forth with them on how we were going to be doing it in the future. But it's all been positive and successful at this point. But we had a lot that were very eager at the start because they'd been pinging the VA to move in that direction for some time, and we're now there.
We have to take a break. I'm Jason Miller, and my guest is Rob Thomas, the Deputy Assistant Secretary and Principal Deputy CIO in VA's Office of Information and Technology.
You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. You are listening to Ask the CIO. Once again, here's your host, Jason Miller.
Welcome back. My guest is Rob Thomas, the Deputy Assistant Secretary and Principal Deputy CIO in the Veterans Affairs Department's Office of Information and Technology. I'm Jason Miller.
Rob, let's move over to you had the now what's the near term? We are in the middle or toward the middle of the near term efforts. What are some near term efforts that you can point to that have made a lot of progress over the last year?
The EPMO is, you know, the control tower. And it is about us managing the entire IT portfolio in excess of $4 billion. And in the near term, categorizing our portfolios has been the big part of the near. We have a health portfolio that we have stood up. We have a benefits and memorials and cemetery portfolio that we've set up. We have an enterprise services portfolio that we've stood up, and we've stood up a corporate portfolio. So in that, it's about aligning ourselves to make sure we're executing FITARA in the right way. It's making sure we're prioritizing across the portfolio instead of in the past where we just had discrete hundreds of projects that were all very discrete. This is about balancing our internal resources and contracting for external resources to help us be successful. It's about gaining domain knowledge in these portfolios versus just having a large development delivery organization. It's about putting subject matter expertise focused on our core customers and the outcomes that we need to become veteran-centric in the way that the administrations need us to be, so they have the tools that they need to support the veterans in the best way possible. So I think in the near term, it's these big portfolios that we've stood up and making sure that we have the right program managers, the right project managers are trained in the right way. We have the right developers. We have the right testers. We have the right skill sets in each one of those portfolios. So I think that's the big part of my mind on the near term.
And to be clear, EPMO, Enterprise Portfolio Management or Project Management Office?
So it's the Enterprise Program Management Office. And in the Enterprise Program Management Office, these portfolios are aligned with our big core customers and our big core missions that we have in the VA. So there are portfolio programs and then cascading projects that are related to each of those programs.
And the idea behind this, you mentioned the FITARA, the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act. The idea is, Ms. Counsel, so your office has the ability to see down through the portfolio who's spending money where. Hey, if the VBA has a need that's similar to VHA, you'll be able to see it because you'll be able to see down the line of sight, if you will, through the portfolio. That's the theory behind it, and that's something that you guys, are working toward?
That's exactly right. And having the CIO weigh in and be a part of the decision-making process on where that money is actually allocated, where that money is actually spent, is a key part of that. And Ms. Counsel is a key part of every one of those portfolios. So she does have line of sight. I have line of sight. And we're able to see the entire enterprise, which is completely different than what we did in the past.
The benefits you're going to see and you are seeing is the ability to ensure that the duplication. I think there's one thing on your report that talks about software, just as one example, where you've reduced the number of software duplication. Well, we have identified and reduced use of prohibited software by 90%. And I know that's maybe a cyber issue, but it's also, hey, are people coming in and just putting software on a machine that you guys don't know about it that could not only create a security problem, but also could create other problems, just, you know, with interoperability. Is that's the type of result that comes from being able to see down through the portfolio?
Well, absolutely. I mean, unapproved software refers to technology or the standards that we have that haven't been approved for general use. And I think over the past year, we've really reduced unapproved software, you know, 85%. VA has reduced prohibited software by 90%. Those are huge successes in my view. And I think the other part is what you said before, line of sight, making sure that we don't have conflict, duplication, and overlap, and we're making sure that everybody is consuming the enterprise architecture and using what we have as approved, so that, you know, we reduce the vulnerabilities, we reduce the redundancies, we are good stewards of taxpayer dollars, and we're making sure we have the veteran centricity and those outcomes is paramount in everything that we do.
So we've talked now, we've talked near term. Let's talk long term. When you look back 12 months in, I know long term is 18 months or more, but what are some of the initiatives that you can point to over the long term that you can say we are really making pretty good progress at that?
First and foremost is eliminating the material weakness. I mean, that's job one for us. Cybersecurity is job one. The CIO's made that very, very clear. I mean, we have five goals around reducing and eliminating the material weakness. And in the future, 2017, we want to have our material weakness eliminated. And those five goals are about protecting veterans' information and data, because that has to be our most important thing. Second, defending the VA's cyberspace ecosystem. I think that's critical. Protecting the VA infrastructure and assets is our third goal. Enabling effective operations is the fourth one. And then the fifth is recruiting and retaining a talented cybersecurity workforce. You know, there's a lot of competition for the cybersecurity force, both inside government and outside government. And I think we're on track. I mean, we're close to 30% of the IG recommendations that we want to have completed by 2016. And then by 2017, and which is from when we started our future, we want to completely eliminate the material weakness by the end of 2017. So that'll be a really big deal. We've reduced the privilege accounts with access to the VA systems by 95%, so that was a big deal. I mean, we mitigated 21 million critical and high vulnerabilities, security vulnerabilities that we had. So I think we've made some great progress. And I already mentioned that we identified and reduced the use of prohibited software by 90%. But in the future, we really want to remove the material weakness.
I know that's a heavy lift. I've been reporting on VA's cyber challenges over the last couple of years. And it's good to see you guys are starting to make some progress. The other piece of this, I think, that as you look at the OINT transformation, is really the closeness that you guys have moved toward the MyVA initiative, really embraced it. Obviously, the secretary has laid that out. Talk about how some of the new functionalities that you guys have come up with really meets the goal of the MyVA initiative.
If you look at the transformation of OIT, you know, it's one of the secretary's 12 priorities. And, I mean, it's directly in alignment with MyVA, because the first thing of MyVA is improving the veterans' experience, and the second thing is improving the employees' experience. Those are key to it. The third is improving the internal support systems. Fourth is continuous improvement. And if you just look at the picture I just painted on reducing all of these myriad of processes we had, conflict, overlap, and duplication, delivering software at a faster pace, providing more mobile capabilities for veterans, all of those things are important to improving that in veterans' experience, providing new tool sets for the employees, making it easier for the employees to do the support that they have, supporting the veterans, and then, you know, improving this internal support systems that we have. That's all part of MyVA is, you know, what we do in the EPMO every day. It's our bread and butter of what our main mission and main focus is. And, you know, the continuous improvement, the secretary bringing in Lean and bringing in Six Sigma, you know, we spent months in our near going through many, many offsites that I personally led, opening up with our eye care values that are part of MyVA and having that at the forefront, and then eliminating just an enormous amount of documents and process that we had in place that really was cumbersome, complex, and delayed what we were actually doing. We did a lot of continuous improvement that employees were very excited about. I mean, we started down this process and a lot of people didn't feel empowered, but they started to gain traction. They started to gain trust that was where we were going to go. I had a goal initially to eliminate 65% of the documents that we had, eliminate 65% of the process that was really delaying a lot of what we were doing. And by the time it was all said and done, we eliminated nearly 85%. So the folks that were on the teams actually took it further than I actually expected that we could even get to. So I think we achieved a lot of continuous improvement. In large measure, was the employees feeling empowered to do it and trusting that I had their best interest at heart and I was going to protect them from the bureaucracy that always seems to stop us.
I know that's a big challenge. What comes next for OINT when you talk about your IT transformation? When we talk next year at this time, Rob, what are some of the differences you hope to be talking about a year from now or more?
Well, I hope next year at this time that we have seen through empirical evidence that we have improved the veterans' experience. I would really like to see next year at this time that we have improved the employees' experience. I would like to see next year at this time that the deliveries that we're making have really improved our internal support systems that we have at the VA. Next year at this time, I'd like to see that people really want to be a part of this transformation and be a part of this OINT team, because we do need to continue to recruit and we want to continue to be a place that people want to work at. Next year at this time, I'd like to see the OPM employee viewpoint survey be more positive in the employees working here. I think for me, those are the big things that I'd like to see next year at this time, and the empirical evidence would show us that that is in fact the case.
And just more from a technology perspective, a project program management perspective, what's the one or two or three priorities on your list that you hope to really work on from a straight technology or process improvement perspective?
My thing is, first and foremost, is we have a large amount of spend in the legacy environment. I would really like to see, I have a big initiative and a big priority right now to, you know, shut down legacy systems that are no longer providing the value from a veteran's experience or employee's experience. So I'd really like to get our legacy spend decreased and more of that moved over to development to get more capability out. I think that's a big part of it. I think on the intake side, retooling and reengineering our intake so that, you know, we plan an engineer in the right way so that development delivery is much more seamless. I think those are a couple of my big priorities here over the next few months.
And when you talk about legacy, the O&M versus DME, what's your current percentage, and do you have a goal to get it down by 5% less, 10% less, or can you talk more, can you quantify it?
I do have a goal of getting it down by 20%. I don't know if that's achievable, but right now I've got a target of reducing that by 20%.
Rob Thomas is Veterans Affairs Department's Deputy Assistant Secretary for the Office of Information and Technology. Rob, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you.
We have to take a break. I'm Jason Miller, and stay tuned for the second half of the show when I talk with Rob Klopp, the CIO of the Social Security Administration.
You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. You are listening to Ask the CIO. Once again, here's your host, Jason Miller.
Welcome back. I'm Jason Miller, and this is a special edition of Ask the CIO. Today, we're talking IT modernization. In this part of the show, I sat down with Rob Klopp, the CIO of the Social Security Administration.
We heard Tony Scott say time and again the need for this IT modernization fund, the $3.1 billion fund that's requested from to Congress. Give me your thoughts from an SSA perspective. What does that mean? Not just the fund, but the IT modernization effort that's really going on throughout government.
You know, I think that there's two aspects about this that are really important. You know, one is the infrastructure that we run on today, it really is old. I mean, it's stuff that was built 35 years ago. And the programming languages and stack that it's built on are also, although, you know, they're modernized. IBM has done a fine job of keeping that stuff up and going, but it's really not in the mainstream anymore. And the people that wrote all of that code are retiring. I had the HR folks pull numbers last week, and 37% of all of the technical IT staff in the agency are eligible for retirement within the next 5 years. So it's a combination of the fact that this is aged stuff and the fact that the workforce who is capable of supporting it is retiring that I think really creates an imperative for us to go move forward. And the second thing is that, you know, it's built on a paradigm about the way we engage the public that is 80 years old. 80 years ago, we built a business process around SSI and disability that was paper-based. And 35 and 40 years ago, what we did was replace the paper with electronic forms. And now, to a large extent, what we're talking about doing is replacing the green screen electronic forms with modern HTML5 electronic forms, but the business process is still pretty much the same. And so I think that the second imperative here is for us to start modernizing the way we actually engage with the public and become more Uber-like. And one of the things I say repeatedly is that everybody has to keep in mind that if we started modernizing today and it was going to take 5 years to do it, in 5 years Uber will be passé. And so what we have to build is something that is where Uber is going to be in 5 years, not something that is looks like off-the-shelf package that was built 10 years ago.
Let me go back to the statistics on the workforce. We've heard many times around SSA, and you guys have gotten a lot of, if you will, press around COBOL and the number of lines of COBOL you guys have, and the fact you're still using these mainframe systems. But 37% of your IT staff could walk out the door in the next 5 years. How are you refilling that pipeline, and are you? I mean, it's not easy to find IT staff, and everybody is struggling in this area.
We actually have a very comprehensive plan in front of the commissioner today to go hire several hundred newbies off the street and put them through a very intensive technical immersion that's called a coding boot camp. If you Google on coding boot camp, you'll get hundreds of hits on it. It's kind of the new thing in Silicon Valley. And people go into these boot camps and they learn really state-of-the-art programming techniques and programming languages. So you'd learn how to spin up the cloud, how to write code in Node.js or Scala or some modern language, how to use GitHub and all of these kinds of things, how to use things like Jenkins and do continuous integration, all of this, the environment for a programmer to work in. And you know, you can find articles written that will basically say that the Silicon Valley companies believe that someone that comes out of a 90-day coding boot camp is as capable as someone who comes out of a four-year college program, or at least close.
That's incredible that 90 days you can learn so much. When you say that the plan is in front of the commissioner, is this something that you're looking to do 2017, later in 2016? And does it have to be funded? Can you talk a little bit more about kind of the top level of what needs to get done to create this kind of coding boot camp?
Sure. So I've got permission to hire some number of people that will go through a boot camp in 2016. What we're asking for is a significant number of hires that we would start hiring for in this year into 2017 that we would be able to put through the boot camp. And by the way, you know, the commissioner and everybody is supportive of this. Everybody gets the fact that this is an opportunity for us to build kind of the next generation of SSA IT staffer. The issue is just around funding.
When you look at your workforce, you mentioned the 37%. Do you have a bathtub effect? Do you have a lot of people on the front end, meaning the younger side, and you have several people on the been in the government for 20, 30 years plus, and you have kind of that not enough in the middle, or is it really heavy on one end but not too light on the other ends, meaning the middle and the younger side?
You know, I think it's not so much a bathtub. I think that there is a bubble of these people that have been around for a while that are going to be eligible for retirement. And then I think it sort of evens out. The thing that sort of has been surprising to me and exciting, very much exciting, is that the entire staff, including a bunch of those that would like to retire, are very switched on about the idea of, you know, modernizing their skills. I mean, there are people that have come up to me and said that they have postponed their retirement because they're so excited about the kinds of things that we're doing around modernization. They want to stick around and learn some of the new stuff. I'm an old dog. We can learn a new trick now and again.
And that's so important. I mean, people want to learn new things, and I think so many times in government that they get caught up in this cycle of just doing the same old, same old. So it's good to see you guys are at least looking at the future, not just for people to retire, but the changes are happening. So let's talk about some of those modernization efforts. You talked about it's not just people, but it's also the processes and the technology. Start off with some of the most recent efforts. You guys have been working on an enterprise data warehouse. What's the latest with that?
First, let me put the data warehouse in context. You know, one of the things that I think is important that people start talking about, especially as these modernization funds get closer to reality, is that there's some definition of what a modernized application looks like. To me, a modernized application basically has a modern front end with a modern user interface on it that faces the public or our employees, but that the data that is captured in that sort of those systems of record are also made available and stored historically to do business intelligence and predictive analytics and all of these sort of big data things that people continue to talk about. So what we're trying to do is put together that second half of the architecture, which is an EDW. Right now this project is running on track. We will go, I'm going to say, into beta test in July. Beta test really is sort of 50 production users, and our plan right now is to roll it out full production in December. I believe that in the last year we've assembled 6 to 10 terabytes of data in the data warehouse.
And the idea is not just to bring the data together, but to make it useful. As you talked about, the idea of analytics and the tools on top of it, are you building the tools on top of it?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the idea of the data warehouse is to have this data sort of integrated into an agency-wide view so that it becomes very easy to ask questions that might otherwise cross application stovepipe boundaries. We have completed a procurement of a new business intelligence tool, and we're starting to think about whether or not we need both visualization tools and maybe some other predictive analytic tools.
We have to take a break. I'm Jason Miller, and my guest is Rob Klopp, the CIO of the Social Security Administration.
You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. You are listening to Ask the CIO. Once again, here's your host, Jason Miller.
Welcome back. I'm Jason Miller, and this is a special edition of Ask the CIO. Today, we're talking about IT modernization. I'm speaking with Rob Klopp, the CIO of the Social Security Administration.
The other piece of this that you were doing, the Enterprise Data Warehouse and some other development, and really a new app, if you will, development environment. I think you guys are having several projects in there. I'm not sure if the Enterprise Data Warehouse was one of them, but I know that this is all part of the plan to move into this DevOps, iterative development. Talk a little bit about that effort, too.
Sure. So if this boot camp thing really is designed to train people up in all of a modern development environment, which includes DevOps, these sorts of things, one of the things that we've built in the last year is that sort of environment at the agency. So we now can run, you know, continuous integration DevOps kinds of projects using, you know, very sophisticated, you know, tools like Jenkins in order to orchestrate all of this stuff. And that stuff is in production. It's being used in two or three projects today. And the developers love it, and we're going to be rolling it out extensively to become the basis of all of the projects in the agency.
And in many ways, this, the boot camp, as you talked about, would feed people into that process. You're training them so they can walk in at SSA and jump right into doing those type of projects in this manner.
That's exactly right.
Are you finding that you're able to find enough people, at least initially, without the boot camp? Is there a lot of training going on just to kind of understand how this iterative development process works?
To some extent, where we are today, I think it's sort of that, you know, silly analogy of trying to, you know, rebuild the airplane while you're flying it. So what's going on now is we're taking the existing staff, we're training them in Agile, we're training them, which is the methodology that sort of sits on top of all this continuous integration DevOpsy stuff. We're trying to start to train them up on the DevOpsy tools. We're starting to give them the opportunity to go learn some new, more modern programming languages so it's not all COBOL, the 40-year-old language, or Java, the 20-year-old language. So we're actually building a very significant new product in Node.js. So we are working very hard to try to get the existing staff to be more modern. Like I said, they embrace it. It's not an issue. It's just a matter of working through the fact that there's thousands of those people that we have to sort of upgrade their skills, and we're well on our way. It's been very positive.
There's a couple projects. You said two or three projects that are ongoing. Do you have expectation that over time, as you get more people trained, as you get more resources to do this, you'll move all projects or many projects into that development approach?
You know, I think we're going to try to move everything into this iterative, product-oriented as opposed to project-oriented approach. It's interesting. We have one project that's going extremely well called DCPS, which is, there are actually hundreds of technical people on this project, and it's Agile. And there's lots of talk in the market, will say, about the fact that, you know, Agile doesn't really work for big projects, and we're not finding that to be the case at all. There's some interesting challenges, but the challenges are well worth it, and we think that in the end this project is going to demonstrate that the agency can do Agile on big projects, and that in fact we will be able to roll this out for the vast majority, if not all, of the projects ongoing.
Part of the entire IT modernization effort also involves obviously cloud. I haven't heard you talk a little bit. You haven't heard you talk too much around cloud. Where does that fit into this broader effort?
We've started a year ago building out a public cloud offering, what we called an incubation project. And the point of an incubation project is to prove the concept that we can do this in production. So we're taking the public cloud, we're rolling it out with production applications and getting a production authorization to operate with all of the appropriate security clearances. And now, having done that and having learned what it really is like, we're going to start putting together a motion to procure a more permanent cloud provider. and formalize this cloud infrastructure.
When you talk about procurement and formalization, obviously you're talking about some kind of contract, a solicitation. Is there anything you can tell us about that?
No, probably not.
All right, maybe something to look out for in the future as you go forward. Last thing we'll talk about is when the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee had a recent hearing looking at legacy IT, and one of the reports from GAO talked about old systems, and you know, DOD is running something that's 50 years old, and they were bringing up the 8.5-inch floppy disk, and they were everyone's kind of getting a good kick out of the big old disks. SSA was mentioned in that list of some of the oldest systems. What are you guys doing to kind of take a look at those systems that have been in production, even if they're 20 years old or 25 years old and not necessarily 50 years old, to get out of that? Is there a process you're going through? I mean, all of this fits into there, but give me the longer view maybe.
So we sort of see modernization as having three legs to it, and we kind of tackle the legs in this order. First, we have to modernize the data architecture, and that's partly because I don't want to build new software on top of old data architecture, and partly because the data architecture will be shared across a variety of applications. The second thing that we have to then tackle is how to actually modernize the applications. And it's important, again, back to my comment about recognizing what the target is when you modernize, it's important to realize that modernizing a software application is about modernizing the architecture. It's not about rewriting the code. You know, a modern application is a highly distributed, service-oriented, and designed to run effectively on a very large cluster of commodity servers, i.e. on the cloud. And it's not about the language. To be perfectly honest, you could write a fully distributed, highly elastic modern application using COBOL. You might not want to do that, but it's not about COBOL. It's about architecture, and that's why I think that we have to rewrite. So we have plans in place, not committed plans yet, but close, to go start modernizing two key applications in the agency besides DCPS, to continue this demonstration that using modern development techniques and agile methods that solving these extremely big problems that might otherwise be considered $100 million software projects can be done for a fraction of that. And we're looking forward to getting the commitment to move forward to modernize that. And then the third bit is the infrastructure, and that's really where cloud comes in. As I said, we have a proof of concept that will go into production around public cloud. We're starting the incubation of an on-premise cloud. Once that's in place, we'll be able to lash those two together and form a hybrid cloud. And I think that becomes the infrastructure for modernizing applications as we go forward.
Rob Klopp is the Social Security Administration's Chief Information Officer.
Thank you for listening to Ask the CIO. The entire show is available on demand on federalnewsradio.com. Search Ask the CIO.